get four rental properties as quickly as you can. At four rent checks, there's two things magical that happen. One of them is you only collect three checks. You typically can still make four mortgage payments. And then the second thing that happens, if things go good, that extra cash flow starts adding up. The appreciation starts adding up. And in a short period of time, you can add it and buy a fifth house.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. Jim and Jamie back with another episode. We are here with a friend, investor, and educator, in my eyes, Tom Tusnot. Tom, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk with you guys.
And Tom, will you say your last name for us? Because we have a Spanish friend who helped us with the book. And he said your name like so beautifully. I'm just wondering, I'd love to hear it from you.
Well, the beautiful way to say it is the French way, which is tout signon.
Yes.
But we're in America. Nobody could do that. So we say tout z and your uncle's wife, your aunt. So tout z aunt.
Oh, tout z aunt.
And he only took me a decade to tell me that I'm messing up his name.
People have done far worse.
Tout z aunt.
Well, Tom, there's obviously a lot of crossover, and that's why I wanted to bring you on today. We appreciate you being involved with our family education side of 18 Summers, but we've also done a lot of real estate together. And what always attracted me to you and our kind of developed clientele and then friendship was our core values. And I'll never forget the first conversation that I had of how we started working together. But before we get into that, will you just tell people a little bit about your background, where you came from and how you ended up into real estate investing?
Yeah, so I really came from a real estate family. You've probably heard that before, but my grandfather started a real estate company in this little town of Gardner, Massachusetts in 1928. And my dad was the youngest child of 17.
17.
Wow.
Yeah. No multiple births, same husband and wife, same mom and dad. But anyways, there's lots of good jokes around that from the French Canadians. It's like the original dad jokes. But six of my uncles went off to World War II. And my dad and five of my uncles got into real estate, got into the family business, all on the real estate sales side. And I went to college as an engineer, worked as an engineer for about 6 months, hated it, kind of ran away. And you know, here running away and joining the circus, I ran away and joined the Air Force and was active duty for 10 years, got to fly F-16s, which was my kind of my goal and dream when I went into the Air Force. And so that was pretty cool. And then I got out, was a commercial airline pilot for a couple of years, got furloughed after 9/11 with the downturn and gave me an opportunity to sort of reinvent myself. It was kind of cool because I said, you know, they're going to call me back someday, but I'd rather make that decision to go back to the airlines from a position of strength. And so, yeah, I think it was just really fortunate. My mindset at the time, I hadn't done much personal development at that point, but I recognized like this is an opportunity, not a curse. And so a lot of guys in that same boat as me just said, well, I just got to go sell shoes or work at the mall for 6 years or 5 years till they call me back. And I said, well, I'm going to start something new. And I looked at the family history of real estate and I liked real estate, but I hated the idea of selling real estate. So I had much more of a financial background and mindset. So I got into the mortgage lending side. And my initial goal was to really focus on working with investors so that I could also become a real estate investor and saw that as a long-term direction I wanted to go into. So I never got into the focus on real estate investment lending, but I did pretty good in the mortgage industry and that allowed me to take some of my excess savings and start investing in real estate. So I was in the mortgage industry for about 20 years and I was privileged to lead just an awesome team of people in the Charlotte, North Carolina area and got to a point where I was sort of looking at the end of my career and when I wanted to ease out of that traditional career field or that 9-to-5 job, if you will, which was never 9-to-5. It was always 7-to-7. Yeah, started working with my team on making sure they'd be ready to take over, make sure it was better and stronger and faster when I left than it was when I was there, and thought it would take me 5 years. It turns out they were better and stronger and faster than I gave them credit for, so after a couple of years, they were ready for it, and we went through some other stuff with my wife and with the global economy and what was going on, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to spend that much more time in the office, and my side hustle of investing in real estate allowed us to make that choice, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that.
I love that you said like everybody else was waiting around for the next thing to happen. They were waiting for, oh, well, they'll come back to me. Oh, well, I won't be in this position forever. So I'm just going to do something. I love that it's such a lesson and such a personality trait to say like, I'm not going to wait for them to come back to me. I'm going to find what my next thing is. And I think that that's so important. It's such a skill that I feel like we learn from others. Like that's something I hope we teach our children, you know, like go get it, hustle for whatever that thing is. If you're in the wait, you hustle while you wait. If you're in it, you hustle while you're in it, whether you're learning. It's not just about waiting for someone else or the next thing to come. So
yeah,
that is very pivotal move, because I have someone close to me that Jamie knows. In the 80s, he was an airline pilot and he made incredible money from then. And literally going from the 80s to the 90s.
Are we talking about airplanes?
No, I was a commercial airline pilot and a family member. And he went from a very healthy six figure down to half of that.
At least.
To just a five figure, you know, as his seniority went up and his hours went up, and never had the foresight to invest in real estate like you or try something new. So you really did two steps. You stepped away from what was known and also kind of your hobby, because we've talked about your flying, which we'll get back to, but also going into mortgage and then investing. And you were already doing some investing when you and I really started to hit it off 8 years ago, but you came from the Carolinas down to Florida. Why did you do that? I always like to ask people, what brought you here?
Yeah, so I think if you go around the world globally and survey people and say, if you move to another country, where would you go? And they still say America, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you go around the United States and say, if you were to move from where you are, where would you go? Nobody says Cleveland, Ohio. Sorry, if you're from
no.
Cleveland. I got friends there. Went to a baseball game there last year. It was awesome. It's a great town, but it's not where I dream of growing up and moving to. And there's lots of towns I could pick. I could say Schenectady or Erie, or there's lots of places in the Rust Belt and stuff like that. But Florida's a place where people want to go. So population growth is huge. I think the other thing people think of Florida is the risk of hurricanes, which I think is overblown. I know it's a big deal.
Pun intended.
No pun intended.
Oh, geez. Didn't even recognize that one. Yeah. But it was funny. I had a funny story on hurricanes. The last one that came through, like the Punta Gorda and Englewood area, I don't really remember it. I don't remember the name of it. That came right across the southwest, up to Jacksonville, went out to sea, came
Ian.
Back in at Hilton Head.
That was Ian. Yep.
Yeah. It literally traced a line across my real estate portfolio. So southwest Florida, northeast Florida, out to the ocean, back into Hilton Head, and then up towards Charlotte. But I'm watching the Weather Channel, and I swear the Weather Channel reporter is standing in front of one of my rental properties.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bad look when the Weather Channel shows up in front of your rental property. We had like two shingles that blew away, an electrical wire disconnected. It was less than $1,000, and, you know, 24 hours, everything was back to normal on five houses that were down there. So,
wow.
And that was always interesting, yeah. Tom, because getting to the new construction, because we talked about this, you were more of an early adopter of new construction. Because, you know, I did bulk foreclosures, old fixer-uppers, and we were really starting to hit stride when you and I first started talking, I think it was like 8 years ago, and saying, well, we're doing this. And there wasn't even a term build to rent. I mean, now you open up the Wall Street Journal, you open up this build to rent. But how did you have the faith to go from new construction to the old fixer-upper way, which is how everybody always did it, including me? But yeah, you were like, no, no. I always remember how definite you were with going new construction, which wasn't always the case with people I started working almost
so
a decade
ago.
Right. So my portfolio today is I've got 23 doors and 12 are new construction and 11 are rehab, fix and flips that I bought from turnkey providers. And those are in a different market. And I've sold two properties so far. I bought one way back in 2007, but I did buy a rehab house in Florida and I sold it 2 years later. But all my other rehabs I bought, I still own them. So I started with traditionally, you buy the house that somebody bought at a foreclosure, they rehabbed it for rentals and they found a tenant and put the tenant in there. And I did not expect much appreciation. I expected continued repairs on their properties because they're older houses. And both of those things were true. They did appreciate better than I expected because the whole country did. But I started looking at it as a diversification play, saying, okay, a new geographic area in Florida, a very strong geographic area. But then I didn't expect a whole lot of appreciation or a whole lot of monthly cash flow because you spend a little more on a build-to-rent house. But I expected it would be very easy to rent and to stay rented. And I figured I'd have less maintenance and operating costs as time went on, which really played out. And that's one of the things I've learned in the years of real estate investing. The worst thing I can have is turnover. When someone leaves, they quit paying rent and you get to spend money on cleanup and repairs. So it's a double whammy when people move out. So providing a good house that people want to stay in for a long time that they feel is their home is really important. And then on those times when they do have to move out, something that's repairable very quickly. So it gets back on the market and it's very appealing. So it rents very quickly is really important. So that was something about new construction build to rent that I didn't anticipate that was really nice.
I was talking this morning with another client that's been with me for quite a while. And we were talking about that trajectory. And I've done both just like you. I kind of morphed from the traditional fix up an old house and rent it to the new construction. And what I found is, and I know you and I talked about that, first 3 years is a very, very important part of getting off on the right foot. And what I learned the hard way, and Tom's in our book.
It actually sounded like you were spot on quoting, like, well, I was like, wow, it's like he's read this book that we wrote.
Well, he's in it.
Yeah. He's in it. Tom's in this book, Passive Income Playbook.
You read, Tom, like I started to learn where I was more concerned about quantity when I wouldn't look at things like turnover. Where's the area? And what I've seen too many times is investors get in and they buy a couple of properties in tougher areas, deferred maintenance. And by year three, they're waving the white flag. Mm-hmm. We're done. All this turnover, mm-hmm. all this maintenance repairs. But they were promised that initial higher cash flow.
Well, and two, like, it's like big things go out. Like the air conditioning goes out. It needs a new, like we're dealing with all that.
But with the new construction, you have to sacrifice some cash flow up front. Mm-hmm. But by year three, you're not really ready to give the white flag. You're like, ooh, things are just starting to get good.
And if they're not, you cash in your warranties. You're like, oh, AC went bad. Here we go. That 210, or I don't even know what it is. How'd you say that? I think that's what it is.
That's my part of the game. But has that been your experience as well? Because I remember you saying, Jim, I don't want a second job.
Yeah, that's a big part of it for me. You brought up a couple of good points there. One of the things I tell people all the time is, everybody, it's universal, wants to invest in real estate, right? Everybody's at some point read an article, heard a podcast, watched a TV show, somebody talking about investing in real estate, and people struggle to get started. Once you get started, it gets a lot easier. But what I tell people is, once you get started, like, get 4 rental properties as quickly as you can, and just 4 rent checks. And what happens at 4 rent checks, there's 2 things magical that happen. And one of them is, you only collect 3 checks, you typically can still make 4 mortgage payments. So that's something bad happens. I'm not throwing continual money into an investment once I've made it. And then the second thing that happens, if things go good, that extra cash flow starts adding up. The appreciation starts adding up. And in a short period of time, you find you can buy a fifth house quicker than you could have if you didn't, right? And then it starts multiplying. I went from 2 houses to 4 houses to 23 houses. I bought 12 houses in 1 year. I think it was actually 14 houses in 2018. With almost no money out of pocket, because I did a couple of cash out refinances. The rent had grown. I was able to support a higher mortgage payment with the rent growth, took the cash out, reinvested it in new properties. And all people are like, you have 23 houses? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I'm not really sure. Because if you look at how much the houses are worth and you say, okay, well, you put 25% down, I put in a fraction of what you think I would have to put down to get 23 houses.
But that's part of the playbook that, mm-hmm. you know, we try to talk mm-hmm. in there. People say, well, how did you come up with all this? When you responsibly leverage off of what you've already planted, you can grow it forward. And you have the discipline mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to pull this money off of this property to put it into the next one or two. Some people will pull it off and they'll say, hey, let's go to Vegas or buy this fancy this or that. And then the growth stops. But I watched you mm-hmm. pull it out, dump it forward, and then stay disciplined. And now, what excites me about this for you is what you expressed and we talk about in the book was, I got to see you keep your hobbies and give priority that which was priority. And so, I mean, first of all, Air Force guy, the second meeting we had, you flew down to see me, which I thought was awesome. We met in Palm Coast. Yeah. And then you and I share a pretty deep bond where I did the kidney donation with my father. And that was one of the first mm-hmm. conversations. I don't know how that came up. It's not something I normally talk to about real estate investor clients, but your wife was going through similar. And I know you said that you went from the airline to running a great mortgage company, but then saying, I got to evolve to the next level now because I want to be here for Kathy. I mean, would you mind sharing a little bit of that?
Hey there, friends. Let's talk about what really matters in life: money, freedom, and family. You know, the things that keep us going, but occasionally drive us crazy as well. Now, imagine if you could have all three at once. Crazy, right? To think that? But it's possible with mine and Jamie's Passive Income Playbook. It's the perfect blueprint for creating a build-to-rent passive income generating real estate portfolio that gives you and your family the freedom and passive income that you deserve. Now, I'm not just talking about some small change here. We're talking about real, tangible income that will allow you to never miss that family event, that ball game, or the vacation ever again. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, but investing in real estate is so hard and time consuming. But fear not, my friend. The Passive Income Playbook makes it easy and very straightforward, step by step. So why not visit jjplaybook.com today and schedule a conversation with one of our sales counselors and download your own copy. Trust me, it'll be the best investment you make this year. Besides, maybe you get that feeling that you're going to buy back your time and also create a legendary family life. Because let's be honest, what's better than financial freedom and quality family time? Not much, except maybe that peace of mind that comes when you know you'll never have to choose between work and family again. So go ahead, make the investment and prioritize what truly matters in life. Your family will thank you. One more time, go ahead and visit jjplaybook.com.
So yeah, where to start on that? So my wife had a hereditary kidney disease. And so in 2020, she got a kidney transplant. So back up from that, 2009, I've been in the mortgage industry about 5 years. I'm having some success. The market's doing pretty good. I went to work on a Saturday like I often did, and it was a beautiful day. I came out of the office in August in the Carolinas. It's normally 95 degrees and humid, but for whatever reason, it was like 82 degrees and dry. I stopped to get some gas, and a guy pulls up next to me in this beautiful Harley Davidson. And I'm like, all right, I'm going right now to the dealership and buy a Harley Davidson. So I go home, I'm getting changed. And Kathy says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to buy a motorcycle. She's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. She says, no, you're not. Yes, I am. And like 30 minutes later, that's all we had. She said, no, you're not. And I said, yes, I am. She finally, being the smart one, she finally goes, listen, you can go fly airplanes if you want to, but you're not riding motorcycles. Mm. And I had stopped flying in the Air Force 5 years earlier, and I hadn't even thought about flying in 5 years. So I went to local airport, got checked out, started renting a little Cessna 172. And now I laugh about it because I'm like, you know, babe, 15 years later, I've bought and sold, I think, 12 airplanes, and I bought a house on a runway and built a hangar. I'm like, you know how much we could have if we had that 15-year-old Harley Davidson with 25 miles on it sitting in the garage, because I never rode it after the first day. But the cool part of the story was, so 2019, I had signed a contract to buy a brand new airplane called a Cirrus aircraft. And the Cirrus is the best-selling single-engine personal aviation airplane in the last 20 years in the United States. It's a really cool story, but they're famous for every airplane they've ever built has a whole airframe parachute system built in. So if you get into trouble, you yank down this handle, a parachute blows out the back, the whole airplane comes down the ground, you open the door and step out a lot. And it's credited with saving over 250 lives. Yeah. So my previous airplane, I would beg Kathy to go fly somewhere, and she'd be like, eh, okay. And then with the Cirrus aircraft, she's like, hey, where do you want to go fly today? Because she's got that level of safety and confidence. So anyways, I had an older model. I had sold it. I wrote a contract to get a brand new one. And then I got huge buyer's remorse. Just like, man, my wife's on dialysis. Like, what am I doing going and spending all this money on an airplane with all this going on? And I went to a good friend of mine, and I went to Garrett Gunderson's workshop in Utah. And we were out there talking after that and just like, get the airplane, man. So my friend convinced me to get it. So I called the sales rep back up. I turned on. I said, hey, what do we got to do? Let's get this thing going. So they get the airplane contract going again. They're going to deliver it in June of 2020. Pandemic hit. Factory shuts down. They push it back. So August, these dates are really important in the story. So August 6th, I go and pick up the brand new airplane. And I'm blown away. I can't believe a laid off airline pilot is flying this brand new, beautiful airplane with all these capabilities and safety and everything. And 3 weeks later, I went out night flying with an instructor, and it was the first time I flew at night in 20 years since I've been an airline pilot. And you can't fly at night unless within the last 90 days you've had 3 takeoff and landings at night. So I wasn't qualified for 90 days up until this day. That's August 25th. August 26th, we get a call, and this is not 2020, so the depths of the dregs of the pandemic. We get a call from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and they say, we might have a kidney that matches you. Talking to Kathy. Uh-huh. While she's on the phone talking to him, I'm opening up my iPad with the flight planning software, and I'm typing in Rochester, Minnesota. And their first question was, where are you? They go, we're in North Carolina. He goes, well, how can you get here? Because if you know, there's a very time limit constraint on a donor kidney, right? And I'm going, we will be airborne in 30 minutes. We'll be 4.5 hours in flight. We'll be at the hospital in 5 hours. And the guy's like, wait, what? And Kathy's like, shut up. I go, no, we can be there in 5 hours. So anyways, the next day, they're like, well, we still got to run some tests, make sure, but it looks good. But we'll get a good night's sleep. We'll call you in the morning. We're like, yeah, right. We're going to sleep. So anyways, the next day, they called us. We raged to the airport, take off. And I've got a picture of the radar. But on the screen, when I zoomed out, Charlotte, direct to Rochester, Minnesota, there was a hurricane to the left of us, massive thunderstorms and traffic, horrible weather to the right of us that we couldn't have flown through either one of us. And there's literally a clear path with no clouds from Charlotte to Rochester, Minnesota.
Wow.
And we called the Rochester airport on the way to our airport and said, hey, I need a rental car. And they're like, well, we don't have any. And it's like, Well, when I land, I'm taking my wife to Mayo for a kidney transplant. If there's not a rental car waiting for me, I'm taking a car. I don't care if it's the truck with the stove on top of it. I'm taking something. I'm getting my wife there. And so she's like, I understand. And so we landed. The guys rip up and they pull up in a car and grab our bags before the propeller even stops spinning. We're out the gate and the hospital. We get to the hospital. They're like, you're here already? So at that point, I was like, well, the money I paid for the airplane, I would have paid for a kidney. So I think the airplane's free and the kidney is what I paid for.
Wow, there's so many lessons there.
Well, the hobby actually helped take care of the priority, which was Kathy. And please say, no, that's wrong. But I remember the last deal you were doing with me and buying, and you said, yeah, I'm buying this last one because the cash flow on this property is going to pay for my airplane payment. Remember we talked about that? Is that accurate?
Yep, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, so had I not been laid off from the airlines and had not gotten in the mortgage industry, had not started investing in real estate, I would have not gone to that conference that convinced me to buy this airplane. It was way outside my comfort zone financially. There's miracles where someone goes to sleep without an arm and they wake up and their arm grew back, right? I don't know anybody that's happened to, but that's a miracle. I think when you take 1,000 circumstances and decisions over a 25-year period of time and it comes together that your wife gets a kidney transplant, that's a miracle.
Like, yeah.
The fingerprints of God at work all through those. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. We had that with Dad. So,
I mean, all the time. It's like, and sometimes we struggle in the moment of like, oh, well, why didn't it happen sooner? Why didn't it happen this way? Or why is this happening? But like what I try to teach our children and even my sweetheart is that things happen for us, right? Not to us. And so it's that we can't always make sense of like, okay, but why was I laid off? That was so terrible. And all your friends or coworkers that were laid off at the time are probably still sitting around going, man, I guess it's not going to happen. Like, oh, why did this happen? And so often we get stuck in that moment of decision and we kind of have inactivity versus forward movement. And it just kind of stinks or it sucks us back into like, oh, but why couldn't it have been different? Yeah. This is why, because it works out perfectly.
Well, and you're giving dates right now. So July 1st, let me track with Gloria's birthday. It had to have been July 1st of 2022. I'll have to check because you know I have the screenshot. You and I were going back on Facebook, back and forth on Facebook Messenger.
Gloria's birthday is not in July though.
No, but we were doing Gloria's adoption ceremony.
Oh, so yes. Okay.
We put it on Facebook. We're doing the adoption ceremony. We have 40 family and friends.
June.
You reached out to me, but Tom reached out to me right after. I have the thing July 1st, and you said, hey, we're going back and forth. Congrats on the adoption. And I'm like, how's Kathy? And we have this whole dialogue. And then you're like, oh, by the way, I retired from Fairway Mortgage. Thanks for the help. And I was like,
You definitely cried.
Yeah, I definitely got a little teary. I'm like, we're supposed to tell a guy that though, you know?
Tom definitely cried writing to you about our daughter. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. You know, I just am making
anyway. But I remember that, and that felt so good to me because I was like, okay, you're flying, you're with Kathy, you and I have that kindred spirit of the kidney donation, the family, and then you did that, and so. You had the courage actually to then step away from the mortgage company. Like, what was that like? Because again, you are talking about another evolution level when you said, I love the mortgage thing, but I'm done.
Well, and I think what I heard you say too, Tom, was that you stepped out faster than you thought because they were even better than you thought without, like, you kind of took your hands back and they impressed you with that.
Yeah. Secret to success is surrounding yourself with great people. And I think the other gift I've had is be able to identify and find great counselors or advisors. And Jim, you being one of them, I've got a great life insurance guy. I've got a great investment manager. I had some great business coaches and mentors. So meet somebody and go, I can learn from this guy. I can follow this guy's advice. And I've been very fortunate to do that many times. And you're on that short list.
Thank you. Well, we're not supposed to have favorites, but when we have nearly 1,000 clients now, and when they said, who would you like to work with over and over? And so we had to come up with a short list. Obviously, it's not just about the real estate. It's about the shared core values. You know what I mean? A love of the country, a respect for what our country has done, like you were saying, an earning, a family history, putting family first, and then looking at things differently, willing to look outside the box. And I think you and I shared those values for sure.
Yeah. I think what I wanted to add on that was like great people working with me. So many times people go, wow, the team you put together is just amazing. And I was very fortunate to work with some great people and give them an opportunity and joke with some of them now. You know, they're like, yeah, I retired when rates were I retired at 4.25%. And so in the mortgage industry, you don't talk about 2022, you talk about rates were at 7%. Because just a horrible time for all my friends in the mortgage industry afterwards and in real estate, but the rates just skyrocketing. One of the things that I do like to share is that it's a question for so many people. It's an age old question, is how much is enough? right? And we even talk about that in the book. It talks about if you're just trying to build your net worth and you have this bucket of money, when is that bucket full enough? And I think for me and for Kathy, it was really a gift. It's just such a blessing to be able to go, to be content. And you're like, well, sure, dude, you got an airplane. Like, of course you're content. You know, it's like, no, it's more than that. Just to realize, like, this is enough. Like, I know I could have worked for 5 or 10 more years physically, mentally. I could have, and I could have continued to strive. And, well, I could say, well, I don't own a jet. There's guys that have jets. I want a jet. Like, I'm content. And to be able to recognize when enough is enough. And to say, okay, I'm only going to do the things that I really want to do now. And in doing so, create opportunities for other people. This is a team that I left behind at the mortgage company. They all had the chance to step up, and they had bigger decisions to make and harder decisions to make and tougher conversations and greater opportunities. So me getting out of the way also, I like to think it gave better opportunities to others as well, instead of me just holding on.
We had a similar conversation this morning. We were launching the new book that you are in. Thank you for being in it with us. And that was one thing that Jim and I always talk about, exactly what you just said. It's not so much of how much, but how. It's a quality of income. It's a quality of lifestyle. It's not a quantity of income in life. Are we still able to play with the kids in the yard when they get home from school? Are we still able to have a cup of coffee in the morning before starting the day? Are we still able to travel and do work from anywhere in the world? And all of these layers of things that matter so much to us. And I, you know, hear that again, that shared core value of it. It's not about how much. It's really and truly about how are you living.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I love that.
Well, Tom, to put a bow on this, and again, thank you for coming on. Great conversation. Very inspiring. I did not even know that story of the closeness of the donation and the flight. Like, we've talked about this, you know, at least a dozen times. So that is unbelievable. Any advice to people who are just starting out? Because it can be like drinking out of a fire hydrant or feeling like you're standing on the edge of an abyss, you know, to go into real estate investing. What advice, being able to look backwards now, would you give to someone to get them off on the right foot?
Yeah. So let me expand that a little bit first, because I'm at a position where I'm able to look back over that 20-year mortgage career, which I was successful. And also, I love what you guys do with 18 summers. And I think I've said to you before, Jim, it's like, yeah, but what about when your kids are grown up? You know, and right, because I've got 4 kids, but they're all in their late 20s now. Soon to be late 20s. My youngest guy will be 25 in July, but he's the one I went backpacking with in the Grand Tetons last summer. So still having relationships with my grown kids and still being able to be physically active with them and stuff like that is pretty exciting. But there's a marginal benefit of your work. And there was a lot of times back in my career where I worked 60 or 65 hours a week, and I probably would have accomplished 95% of what I did if I worked 55 hours, right? So make sure that you're taking that time. I talk to my kids and I'm like, man, if I got a regret, it's that I missed those minutes that pass away. Even if it's just like, oh, I'm going to work for a half hour after dinner before the kids go to bed. That half hour in my 20-year career of mortgages did nothing for me. Email could have waited till tomorrow morning, right? So if I look at any regrets on a successful career, it's like, and 95% is probably, you shouldn't be grinding your whole, grind for short terms, but not all the time.
Grind for short.
Yeah, so I'd say that. And then the goal of the 18 summers is to launch successful adults, but I want to launch successful adults that are friends with me. I don't want to launch 4 strangers, 5 strangers out in the world, right? They're super successful. They don't talk to us.
Right? That's not a success in my book then.
No, exactly. So, you know, what's the keep the end in mind? And then getting started in real estate is, it takes courage. It's a leap, and you just got to trust that long term. It's very few investments. So you could say, well, 1960s, I'm going to buy General Motors. Look how many cars they're selling. Well, General Motors doesn't get better and better every year, right? In fact, you would probably be in a net loss if you had done that in 1960s, just held till now, or AT&T or something like that. Real estate's as close as you can get to a guaranteed every year it gets better. And it's not every year 3%, just like the stock market's not every year 10%. It's never 10%. The rents over time will go up. Property values over time will go up. 30-year mortgage payments stay the same. And every year, if you look at any investment that's okay today in real estate, in 5 years, it's unbelievably good. So I'm telling people a lot of time, like, yeah, you're right. Meeting you in 2017 and buying those first 3 houses I bought in 2017 was amazing. Like, that was the best time to buy those 3 houses. The second best time is, you know when, today.
Right. Yeah,
it's going to be great in 5 years. It's going to diversify your portfolio into a point where at retirement age, whether it's 58 or 55 or 65, you're going to have an additional stream of income and additional assets, additional source of capital that if the market's down, real estate's up and vice versa. So it's going to protect you and make you safer by taking that risk now. It seems like a risk, but buying a bunch of NVIDIA stock right now is way riskier than buying a rental property.
I agree. Well, that is
good wisdom.
a mountain of wisdom, and but also put in a simple, authentic form. So we appreciate, obviously, the work we've done together, the friendship we've done together, the kidney donation brainstorming we've done together, which I can say I've only done that with 1 out of 1,000 clients, and that'd be you. And we're just so happy to see you continuing to spend time with the kids and take the adventures and do the hobbies and the grandkids now.
Exciting.
And we appreciate, and you even have done the generosity of referrals for us. So we appreciate you, Tom. Thank you so much for coming on and inspiring us and so many others and taking those leaps of faith when it could have been easier to stay stagnant. That is something that we definitely want to inspire in our children.
Testimony of faith, for sure.
Well, I want to get down to Northeast Florida and get a kookaburra coffee with you sometime soon.
We'd love to have it. Let's make it happen sooner than later.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll catch you in town.
Thanks, Tom.
Great, exactly.
All right. Great having you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.